Joining us now, he's the tournament director for the Quicken's Loans National. Mike Antolini joins us. Mike, what's going on this morning?
Good morning, guys. Thanks for having me.
Oh, yeah. So how's preparations going? Everything all set? You ready to rock?
Yeah, it's going great. Excitement's at an all-time high, of course, with Tiger coming back to the Quicken Loans National this week at TPC Potomac. And, you know, a few days before the spotlight shines on us, but we'll be ready.
So, Mike, when you're looking at this event and getting ready for it and the announcement that Tiger will be there, how does that change the preparation going in? I mean, there has to be a Tiger effect in terms of getting ready for the people and the media and whatever else is going to happen and how much time you have to schedule for him with the media and things like that. Does just his presence change how you get ready for the tournament?
Yeah, it does. Of course, we have to print a lot more tickets because they fly off the shelves as soon as we announce the Tigers coming back, and the response has been overwhelming from the DC faithful around here, which is great to see. They've been supporting the event for more than a decade now, and then just as you mentioned, you know, whenever Tiger is on site, everything has to be kind of re-looked at and honed in terms of movement and roping and faking and timing and schedule. So it's all good problems to have. We wouldn't have it any other way. And whenever he's obviously tees it up, it's great for golf.
Have you had a chance to talk to him? I mean, does he seem like he's more excited? Because we know that not playing, you know, was something that really kind of bothered him, and he just likes to get back out there and get into the mix with these guys as we keep hearing from him. I mean, can you get the excitement out of him right now?
Yeah, I think you just said it yourself. You know, whenever he's talked and since his comeback, since he has been playing on the PGA Tour, he loves being back in the mix, competing, doing what he does, doing what he loves to do. And, you know, we really kind of feed off of that energy as well from an outside the rope standpoint when the tournaments and the events come. So it's great to see him back there mixing it up, competing. The crowds are following him, of course, not only on site, but across the entire world on TV, as we've seen the ratings. You know, he is the needle. He doesn't move the needle. So it's been great for golf.
Well, we're talking to Mike Antolini from TPC Potomac, hosting the Quicken Loans National. And, you know, I have to admit, I like the vowel at the end of your name. So I'm sure nothing is hard for you, because there should be more Italian tournament directors, I firmly believe. But outside of the Tiger effect, what's the hardest thing about preparing TPC Potomac for this event?
Well, you know, the course sets up great. First of all, inside the ropes, it's a championship course. As we saw last year, it was the first year that we brought the Quicken Loans National to TPC Potomac. The course in and of itself was no stranger to tournament golf. It obviously has hosted PGA Tour, Champions Tour, and Web.com Tour events. But for us, bringing the Quicken Loans National there last year, shine the spotlight. It got high marks across the board inside the ropes. It was a fair test. It was a tough test. It was exciting, obviously. A playoff win for Kyle Stanley over Charles Howell III. And then outside the ropes, it's really a classic TPC course in that it sets up great for the fans. There's natural hillsides. There's great viewing areas. From a fan perspective, we're able to concentrate really all of the action on 16, 17, 18, by the range, by 1-9 clubhouse. So when you come through the gates as a spectator, you don't have to, you know, you don't have to walk miles and miles to see the action. Obviously, we encourage everyone to walk the 18 holes and follow their favorite group. But if you want to come and just kind of, you know, perch up and watch golf, there's plenty of areas to do that just a few steps inside the main gate.
Well, Mike, and I'm looking at the layout of this course, and it appears to me that for the average golfer, the recreational golfer who's out there day in and day out, holes 2, 7, 12, maybe 13, maybe 16 are the most interesting holes, probably the signature holes on the course, but those may not be the ones that give the pros as much trouble as they give, especially the law, like number 2. I think most of the pros will have an easier time getting there than the amateurs, you know, that play there every day. Where are the holes that we can see the top players in the world? Where can we expect to see them score? And more particularly, where can we expect to see them have trouble?
Yeah, so it's a par 70, 2 par 5s. So the scoring opportunities on the par 5s are not plentiful. You have to take advantage of 2 in 10. But when you look at the backside, there are some short par fours there, but they're tricky. I mean, don't forget Ricky made double on 14 last year. It's a, you know, basically it can be a drivable par four. So you have to pick your spots. You have to choose, you know, when you're going to play the holes as placement courses or placement holes, or when, you know, it's time to use that risk reward and try to get it on the green or near the green. 11, of course, played as the toughest mm-hmm. hole on the PGA Tour last year. Not a long hole at all, but requires basically three or four, you know, depending on you know, birdie par or other, perfect shots. You have to place it perfectly off the tee. It's a very precise tee shot, and then the green is long and it's thin, so your yardage can't be five yards short or long, because there's either hazard short or bunker or heavy rough long. So it's a very precise hole and gave the players fits. I think that specifically if you start your round on the 10th hole, that 10th, 11th stretch is a tough way to be greeted, but it's challenging, and I think it really requires a lot of kind of thought throughout the course.
Yeah, so, you know, we talk to a lot of the tournament directors and professionals at their courses as we head into tournament weeks. How has the course handled the winter and the spring? And hopefully you didn't let the USGA in there to try and get it to the edge after what we saw at Shinnecock.
Hey, here's your watering schedule. No.
Well, we've been. Let me say that during tournament week, the forecast is going to be bright and sunny. We've had some natural water these past few days. The course is lush. Certainly, it has not been played on for a few days since we stopped member play on Wednesday afternoon. Stephen Britton, the golf course superintendent, and his staff have been meticulously pouring over every square inch of the course, and it's really in perfect condition. So we couldn't ask for anything more inside the ropes, and as I mentioned, outside the ropes, it's setting up a great as well. So really, when you put everything together, it's a great recipe for a terrific week.
Yeah, I mean, let me get your thoughts on what you saw at the U.S. Open last week from a course setup. I mean, we've seen articles this week about the USGA, and do we still trust the USGA? I mean, you as a tournament director, I mean, you may not have as much input into golf course setup, but I mean, at the same time, you want your tournament to represent well, and we just don't seem to be getting that out of the USGA lately.
Yeah, look, I think that you know, the U.S. Open setup controversy is the story as old as time. So I think that it's one of those constants in the game that, you know, we just have to kind of accept. But, you know, from me, obviously as a viewer of the U.S. Open and as a fan of golf, I didn't think it did anything to really hurt the theater of it all. I mean, I didn't not tune in on Saturday or not tune in on Sunday because of everything that was going on outside the ropes. So, you know, there's definitely, you know, definitely a lot of talk and a lot of commentary and a lot of, you know, maybe critiques. But, you know, for me, just it didn't damper the excitement, and it certainly didn't, to me, damper the leaderboard and Brooks Koepka winning his back-to-back U.S. Open, and obviously Dustin Johnson being there, and Justin Rose, and Henrik Stenson, and Tommy Fleetwood, you know, the world's best kind of rose to the top, which was, I thought, indicative of what the U.S. Open should be.
Yeah, and that answer is not courtesy of the 5 years you spent working for the USGA, correct? Mike, I'm curious. You went to UMass Amherst. Are you from Massachusetts?
I am. I'm from north of Boston, a city called Melrose.
Okay, I'm from Lexington.
And I'm from Marshfield.
Same league, Middlesex League.
Yeah, man, and we get a lot of criticism on this show for only having guests from New England, and I swear this isn't on purpose, but I just saw on your resume that you went to UMass Amherst.
Yeah, and I don't know if you heard me, Mike, but I'm from Marshfield, to the South Shore, so we've got Massachusetts covered.
That. We're in good company.
Well, but you work for the Tiger Woods Foundation, technically. Does Tiger mind being called Tyga?
That's a good question.
Yeah, because both of us, we've been in the South long enough that he's Tiger. But, you know, I was just in Maine for 10 days, and the Tyga came back.
Yeah, I stick with single letter T, just to make sure I don't let the old roots come out.
Good for you. I'd go Mr. Woods.
All right, so Mike, last year Kyle Stanley 273, 15 under, I believe. What are you looking for this year? If I'm telling you on Sunday afternoon, pick a number, you get to put your feet up, have a few adult beverages, and nobody's going to touch that number.
Yeah, it's always tough to speculate. Last year was actually 7 under. I don't know if we...
Oh, 7 under. I'm sorry. I was thinking 88.
Okay.
7 under, yeah.
So it was, you know, it was a good range to be in. But again, you know, you've probably heard this a million times. Very difficult to try to predict a number or even play or set up for a number, since the external factors have such a role, the things that you can't control, weather and you know, have such a role in that. So, you know, the last thing we're worried about is the number. The last thing we're worried about is how the course will play inside the ropes. We know that there's going to be compelling competition. We know that, you know, if you look back over the champions of the Quicken Loans National, they've all been very deserving. There's been a story and moments made within each one of them. I think back to 2016 and Billy Hurley III, maybe naval officer winning his first ever PGA Tour event as an exemption into the tournament. Of course, Kyle Stanley last year breaking a multi-year drought to get his second win. Troy Merritt getting his first win in 2015. I mean, the list goes on and on. Obviously, Tiger has won two times. So, you know, it's tough to speculate inside the ropes on a number, but we know that the excitement's going to be there. We know that at the end of the day, after the 72nd hole, plus potential playoffs like we saw last year, there's going to be a deserving champion lifting that national trophy, representing the Capitol building and what this tournament stands for on the PGA Tour.
Well, so if somebody said to you, okay, Mike, halfway through the day on Sunday, you're done. You don't have to be involved with the trophy. You don't have to be involved with any of the hospitality. You can kick back yourself with a few adult beverages and watch the end of this tournament. Where would we find you? Where would we find you sitting that you think the action's going to be, where you can see as much of it as possible? Where would you be hanging out?
Yeah. So the 16-7, first of all, I will not be doing that, but maybe I will be watching the a week later, the broadcast from the comforts of my own home a week after. But that is a nice vision. So 16, 17, 18, obviously closing holes where it's all going to come down. 16, 17 specifically, you have 16 green and 17 tee, 17 a par 3, so you can basically see the entire hole from the tee area. We have our Grey Goose 19th hole lounge and our trophy club overlooking 16 green and 17 tee. It's a great area, and then you're literally just a few steps away from 18 landing area and 18 green. So that's really the area I would patrol. And I mentioned there's so many natural hillsides at TPC Potomac that it's not the type of course where you have to be first in line and stand somewhere all day, because you can get to an area and be naturally elevated to see over the fans in front of you, which is great, because it provides that freedom and flexibility to see more of the course and not feel that you're landlocked once you pick your spot.
All right, so you've had a couple of different winners now that in this tournament, but it's been in a lot of different venues, obviously, over the, you know, its long history. I'm curious, though, what kind of player does this course and the setup you're seeing as it will be, what kind of player does it favor? Long, accurate, both? Is it a Zach Johnson, or is it a, you know, what kind of Dustin Johnson? What kind of a player would this course favor this year?
Well, distance never hurts anyone, obviously, as we see. But what this course does not allow for is inaccuracy off the tee. You must keep the ball in front of you. You must keep the ball in the fairway. The rough is very penal, and there's a lot of trouble. There's hazards and woods and trees and kind of natural debris that you don't want to deal with. So I would say that accuracy is more important than length, specifically off the tee. Obviously, any champion needs to be a great putter for the week. But it's going to be someone who minimizes their mistakes. It's very much, I will say, you know, we're just 2 weeks or a week removed from the U.S. Open. It's similar to a U.S. Open setup and mindset in that you got to avoid the big number. You know, just keep the ball in front of you. Again, we talked about 7 under, got into a playoff last year. That's over 4 rounds. That is, you know, abnormal, I would say, on the PGA Tour week in, week out, when most of the time we see double-digit under par winning. So you have to kind of peel back your mindset a bit and not try to do too much too soon. Make the cut and then, you know, pick your spots over the weekend.
Well, Mike, we really appreciate you coming on with us this morning, and we look forward to a great event up there at Avenel.
Yeah, I appreciate it, guys. Thanks for having me. Nice to talk to a few fellow Massachusetts guys. So thanks so much for the support.